Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of Ephesians. And we read the first 21 verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this evening is found in the first two verses of this chapter. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious truth of the gospel that ought to color every part of our lives wherever we find ourselves, in whatever circumstance, the glorious truth that ought to color that circumstance and that time is the truth that we are God's dear children. That's our identity. Children who are loved by God. The whole first half of Ephesians expresses that glorious truth. The truth that God loved us already in eternity, and according to that love, predestined us unto the adoption of children. Later in the same epistle, chapter 2, we find expressed the truth that God in His love regenerated us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but according to His great love wherewith He has loved us, He has quickened us. That's the first half of the epistle to the Ephesians. Then beginning at chapter 4, we read in chapter 4, verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He adds a therefore and now begins to show the implications of our identity. We have been saved by grace. Therefore, that's the beginning of chapter 4 and the whole second half of Ephesians, and that's how our text begins as well, with a therefore. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The dear children part has been established. Here's our calling. In light of that fact, be followers of God. So I take that as our theme this evening, followers of God. Let's first note the meaning of that. Secondly, the manner in which we will express that. And lastly, the reason that we are called to be followers of God. What an astounding calling, beloved, when you consider what the text calls us to do. Be followers of God. And the word used in the Greek to be a follower is the same word where we get in our English the word mime, or maybe this shows my age, the word mimeograph. Those old copy machines that some of us will remember when we went to school. You put a master on that drum, and as that master goes around and comes into contact with the blank sheets of paper, those blank sheets come out with some of the ink put on them. You remember those purple copies that we used to get in school. And of course, those copies do not become the master, but something of the master is pressed onto those copies. The idea of being a follower of God is to be an imitator of God, to mimic Him in some way, to consider something about God, and then to imitate or mimic that in our lives. The contrast to that is found in the context. There were many occasions in which God's people, in which we are not followers of God, but in fact are followers of that which is darkness, followers of men. So you find, for example, in chapter 4, verse 25, "Wherefore put away lying." Well, how often have we heard lying or proud or hurtful words? And rather than rebuking them, we listen to those words or we repeat them. Or we see bitterness. This is all different concepts in the context. Chapter 4, verse 31. Bitterness. Someone who has a bitter, resentful spirit who refuses to reconcile with another that has sinned against them. And if they have refused to reconcile with me, then I may very well copy that. I may follow that. And say, well, then I refuse to reconcile with you. Or we hear angry outbursts. Either something that explodes out of somebody, or we see someone with a settled disposition of anger. And what do? We imitate. Or we hear the clamor of harsh contentions and strife. Or we hear backbiting and talebearing. And instead of trying to stop it, we repeat it. We imitate in a wrong way. We see others stealing, maybe what by way of laziness, and we copy that behavior. We see covetousness. Someone gets something, and rather than condemning covetousness in our own hearts, we imitate. So often, we are imitators of that which is darkness. We follow others walking in darkness. That kind of imitation comes naturally. We don't have to be told to do that kind of imitation. That we will simply do because of the old man of sin that we have within us. But instead of being followers of evil, the text calls us to do something that is unnatural to us. Something that goes against us as we are by nature, and that is to be followers of God. How can we, who are creatures of the dust and sinful creatures at that, living in a sinful world and constantly attacked by the devil, how can we be imitators of God? Should we not be like Isaiah when he saw the vision of the angels calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts"? Should we not say, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips"? Imitators of God? And yet, beloved, that's what the text calls us to do. "Be ye therefore followers," that is, imitators of God. How can we be imitators of God? We would understand it better if somebody said, "Be an imitator of that person." Well, certainly not by imitating those qualities of God that relate to his divinity, that is, his infinite nature. We cannot be followers of God as regards his being present everywhere in the universe. We are creatures that are bound to be only in one place. Neither can we imitate God as regards his timelessness. God is absolutely above time. The creation and time are below him, as it were, but we are bound by time. We cannot imitate God as regards his infinite majesty. Essential students will remember perhaps the term that's used, God's incommunicable attributes, those attributes he does not share with us. We can't imitate God as regards his incommunicable attributes. But we are called to imitate him as regards his communicable attributes, those attributes that he does share with his people. Those we are called to imitate. And so we find throughout Scripture calls to imitate God as regards various attributes. 1 Peter 1, verse 16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Imitate God as regards his holiness, being devoted to himself. And we, as God, then ought to be devoted to God, to the glory of God. Or Luke 16, verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Jesus calls us to imitate that mercy of God. Children, do you know where the attributes of God are displayed most brightly? They're certainly revealed in Scripture, but do you know where they show forth most brightly? In Jesus Christ. All those glorious attributes of God shine forth from Jesus Christ. If we want to learn about holiness, see how Jesus devoted himself to his Father. If we want to learn about mercy, see how Jesus gave himself for us, displaying God's mercy. If we want to learn about God's justice, look at Jesus Christ and how he willingly went to the cross and endured the punishment that you and I deserved in order to satisfy God's justice. And then it ought not to be a surprise when we see that Jesus displays all these attributes of God that we are also called in Scripture to imitate Jesus. Jesus himself says to his disciples, John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Jesus calls us to be imitators of himself as regards his love, and we find the very same thing in our text, verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Be ye therefore followers of God, imitators of God as regards his attributes, his communicable attributes. What a lofty calling, beloved. And the question that should arise in our minds then is, how will that look? What will that look like when you and I are imitators of God? And the text gives us a pointer when it expresses in verse 2 the love of God. It's not eliminating the other glorious attributes, but it especially emphasizes the love of God. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. When we are imitators of God, we will consider the love of God towards us. In the first place, we will consider that love because in that love that Jesus displayed towards us is the possibility of ourselves being imitators of God. We would never be imitators of God apart from that love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. It was that love that Christ had towards us that caused him to take on a human nature. And it was that same love that he had that made him go all the way to the cross. Though it cost him everything, he gave himself to purchase for us the right of all the blessings of salvation. He earned for us the right to be given grace so that we could be followers of God. Christ earned for us all the blessings of salvation. And not only has he earned those blessings for us, also by his Spirit, he dispenses those blessings to us. Having, as it were, a treasury of blessings before his throne that he can dispense to his people according to his love towards us. So he dispenses those blessings. He gives to us the Spirit. He pours out that love in our hearts, and that Spirit regenerates us, and that Spirit works in us to sanctify us. That Spirit holds on to us, preserves us in our faith so that we do not renounce our faith. Christ's love is the possibility of our being followers of God. And that means when we consider that, we consider the love of God being the possibility, then we're not going to walk through the doors and go home tonight and simply think to ourselves, I'm just going to try harder and be a follower of God, because we can't do it in our own strength. We will be those who call upon our God, knowing that Christ has given himself that sacrifice, knowing that there's the possibility, we will pray for grace. But then in the second place, not only is Christ's love the possibility, but that love is also an example. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. If you and I want to know how to be imitators of God in all of our relationships, in every circumstance, how am I to love this person that maybe has forgotten me or has insulted me? How did Christ display the love of God? There's an example for us. How did Christ love the body? How did Christ love the sheep that God gave to him? That's how he wants me to love the body of Christ. That's how he wants me to love my fellow members in the congregation where God has put me. Love one another. That's what he says to his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. There's an example. There's also examples as in Scripture as regards our marriages. How should I, as a husband, love my wife? What does Scripture say? It uses the very love of Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How should I love my spouse? By giving myself for their good, seeking their good. Even if it requires that I sacrifice of myself. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How should I love, and how should you love, someone who has been hostile towards you? Maybe someone who hates you. Well, Jesus says in Matthew 5, 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He's not saying, do this to make yourselves children of God, but rather to manifest that you are the children of God, that you are imitators of Him. Love even your enemies. Your enemies, wherever they are found, all those who are hostile towards you, love them. What a lofty calling, beloved, that flows out of the text. That's how Christ loved us, even when we were enemies. In Adam, we had lifted up our fists into God's face, as it were. Christ died for us when we were enemies, in order to bring us into fellowship with Himself. Is it too much to ask then for us to love our neighbors, our close neighbors in our own houses, our neighbors in the church, our neighbors in the church world? Is it too much to ask even to love our enemies? Ephesians, especially the second half of Ephesians, is full of examples of how to manifest that love and so to be followers of God. When we walk in love, we will be those who love the body. We will love the body of Christ. You find that at the beginning of chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. You see, when we love the body, we're not going to be creating division in the body. Just the opposite. When I love the body, I want to do whatever I can to unify the body of Christ. When I love the body, I will speak the truth, but I will do so in love. Chapter 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see how that connects it to the body. Our love for Christ will express itself in love for the body. And then I will speak the truth. But you see, it's not just the content that I speak. If I yell at my children or my wife and I say, I'm just telling it like it is, that may be speaking the truth. Maybe. But it's not in love. There is a manner in which we will speak the truth in love. There is a particular way to do it. Working with our hands is another way that we will manifest love to the body. Chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. When I love the body, I want to be able to provide for others in need. And therefore, my love for the body will show itself in my work. I want to work with my hands and not simply take advantage of others. Followers of God will show itself by our love for the body of Christ. When we follow God and love as Christ loved, we will be angry sometimes with a righteous anger. But we will make sure then that our anger is against sin and that it's not mixed with sinful pride or harshness. Instead of expressing that anger against sin in such pride and harshness, rather, being followers of God, we will not let the sun go down on our anger. Chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. One thing that struck me as I went through the context is how often the inspired apostle refers to how we use our tongues. Isn't it striking that the inspired apostle would bring that up so often in different ways? Chapter 4, verse 29, we referred to other examples previously, but now verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, I need to remind myself of that. How often have I used my mouth in ways that were not edifying, that did not minister grace to those I was speaking to? Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When we are followers of God, we will forgive one another. We will have an attitude that wants to forgive those who have sinned against us. We want them, as God's children, we want God's children to experience that forgiveness. What a lofty calling to be kind to fellow members as God has been kind to us, to be merciful to others, merciful to our children, to others in need as God has been merciful to us, to be compassionate to those who are hurting as God has been compassionate to us. To love others even when they don't seem so lovable. Just as God was loving to us when we were absolutely unlovable. Why should we be followers of God? Why does God call us to do that? Because of who we are. Because we are God's dear children. That's the emphasis of the text. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Children who have been loved by God in eternity. Children who have been loved by God when He sent His Son to die for us. Children who have been loved by God when He poured out His love, shed abroad His love into our hearts by His Spirit, giving to us life, giving to us faith, bringing us into covenant fellowship with Himself. Dear children, loved by God with an everlasting love. That's the emphasis. Also in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. That's not two separate things. The inspired apostle is not saying be followers of God. That's one thing. And now be those who manifest the love of Christ, walk in love. But rather, walking in love is what it means to be a follower of God. What a wonder that we would be made the dear children of God. Wouldn't that change the way that we relate to others if we had that in our consciousness? I am a dear child of God. How is that going to manifest itself when I talk to this person or that person or meet this other person? Be imitators of God as dear children. Not because we are not dear children, beloved, because we set ourselves apart in any way. Rather, the emphasis of the text is also that this is all of grace. You see, when it expresses that Jesus Christ gave himself an offering, he gave himself that offering for us, unworthy creatures of the dust who had rebelled against him. All of grace. We are dear children, and that brings us completely and squarely into the realm of thankfulness. I want to be a follower of God because he has made me his dear child. It's not the other way. It's not that I want to love God so that he will make me his dear child. I want to do something to earn his love for me. Not at all. We are dear children, and thankfulness will flow out of our hearts the more we consider that love of God towards us. Now, if someone had no desire whatsoever to be a follower of God, come to them, show to them the glorious attributes of God, holiness and mercy and love, and they say, I want nothing to do with that God. And I don't want to be a follower of God. And don't tell me that I have to be a follower of God. That gives evidence of someone who is not a dear child. Of course. They have not experienced the love of God. They have not seen the love of Christ for them. But beloved, when you see and when I see that we want to be followers of God, I want to be more holy. I want to show love towards my wife, my children, my fellow believers. I want to love them as Christ loved me. And though we fall short, When we see that desire in ourselves, that gives evidence that we are dear children of God. Then we respond, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to thee?" Thankfulness makes me say, I want to live as a dear child of God. I want to be a follower of God. Our privileged position as dear children gives us great reason to be followers of God. Now we all know by sad experience that we have not been very good followers of God. We have not followed God as we ought to, as we are called to. Who of us can say we have followed God to perfection? Beloved, we have only a small beginning. But now remember that we are God's dear children. And when you see that you have fallen short, go to the Father as his dear child and confess your sins in sorrow that we have failed again, and beg him for forgiveness, not because we have earned it, but on the basis of that precious sacrifice that he gave for us, and know that God will grant that forgiveness to you as his dear child. And then as a dear child, approach him again in the same prayer and ask for grace. Father, give that grace to thy servant that I may be a better imitator of thee. I want to walk in love for my neighbor, but I need thy grace. And remember that God looks upon you as his dear child, and he will give that grace. May it be that God would grant us all the days of our lives that we would be followers of him to the glory of his name. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy love towards us, making us thy dear children. Grant that we also may walk in love, showing forth that love wherever thou hast placed us, in our marriages, in our homes, in the church, in the world, the workplace, wherever thou dost bring us, may we manifest that we are thy dear children, and so bring honor and glory to thyself. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Continue, we pray, to lead and guide us by thy grace. We ask it in Jesus' name.